Welcome to Life and Lattes with Paula, Andy and Lisa. Three friends, one table and you. Sit down and let's get three cups deep.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Life and Lattes with me, Paula. Andy's here with me in studio and Lisa is joining us as always from Israel. And it is a good morning, but it's also a bit of a rough morning. Israeli friends have not slept very much and neither has our South African co-host, Andy, who is still in South Africa.
And kind of in Israel.
And her heart is in Israel. And all of our hearts are in Israel, really, if we're being honest. So that's what today's show is going to be about, processing where we are, where we want to be, where we think we should be, and how to reconcile all three. That's later in the show in Three Cups Deep. For right now, I think we can dive straight into espresso ourselves. Wow. Andy, how are you feeling this morning?
Sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I'm feeling. I'm feeling many things, but I will share that I'm trying to hold a lot of emotions at the same time. And the other day I was added to a WhatsApp group to try help Israelis abroad get back to Israel now that all our flights have been cancelled and the skies have shut down. And the title of the group was Stuck in SA. And I actually was chatting to the guy who invited me to the group. And I said, is there any way we can change the title of the group to Let's Get Home? Because Stuck in SA just was not very good for my heart. And I'm not stuck in SA. I'm here with my family and friends, and I can work remotely. But like you said, my heart is very much in Israel, and it's extremely difficult to be far away. I didn't realize how difficult. So I'm not stuck. This is just where I am for now.
Absolutely. And we actually, Andy and I just had coffee with a good friend, Rebetzin Sterner Weinberg. She was sharing a story with us about a group of women attending an Anshei Chabad conference many years ago. It was meant to be in Detroit, and bad weather had the plane grounded in a different airport. And they phoned through to the Rebbe's office, and they spoke to the secretary, and they said, we are stuck in, I don't know which airport it was, we are stuck in the airport, we can't get to the conference. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe overheard the conversation, and he said, what is stuck? A Jew is never stuck. Is obviously something you still need to do. And Sterner recalls that they stood in the airport and they handed out Shabbos candles to the Jewish passengers in the airport and told them about the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles and brought purpose into that moment of being stuck. So that's where we are right now. We're never stuck. We're exactly where we need to be. And it is still really, really hard. It's a really hard situation to be in. Lisa, do you want to share us your espresso yourself this morning?
You know, listen, Israel, it's a really difficult place to be right now. And at the same time, you know, I love that that the story is Israel is having rescue missions to bring people home. And I find that always so absurd that the place you're being rescued to is a war zone. You know, usually when you think of rescuing, you think of taking people out of a war zone.
So funny.
Yochai Spanda calls it rescue mission.
Rescue. Oh, brilliant. Rescue, right?
And I love it in terms of there's nowhere else that I would want to be despite all the chaos. I love that yesterday it was Purim and one of my closest friends lived on my street and she invited a bunch of us over and everyone knew if a siren goes off, you go to this bomb shelter, you go to that bomb shelter. And we all just did Purim Siddur and had a gorgeous day and in between a few sirens. And I think that's kind of how Israelis are doing it. You know, we just, like, you keep going.
You just keep going. Let's take a break.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're listening to Life and Lattes, and the love is pouring in. over the airwaves. If you are listening, please WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. We've got a message here from Ilana, sending lots of love and strength to Special Andy, who we love and miss here in Israel. And from Cape Town, we've got a picture of the lattes. Oh, those look very attractive lattes, all the ombre colors. Latte ladies, sending love from Fiona in Cape Town. So thank you for the love. We feel it. Yeah, if I'm going to express it myself, I will say I'm in a bit of a tiz. I am in a bit of a tiz. Yes, I'm not meant to be on a flight going to Israel, but my heart definitely feels like it's in Israel. And I am struggling with, you know, going down the rabbit hole of the news cycle again, which I did for literally 2 years after October 7th. I was glued to the news every day, all day. Multiple news websites, except Al Jazeera. That is not called news. I don't know what it is called.
But propaganda polls.
Propaganda. Disinformation, hate speech disguised as reporting. I don't know, but it's very far cry. But, you know, it just sucked out my energy, my life force. Honestly, I was just so hooked into the news cycle. And when news broke with Iran, I immediately was on all the news websites again. And a part of me was like, I can't do this again. I can't do this again. I can't spend the time hooked in. And despite my best intentions, I spent 2 hours last night after my beautiful Purim Seudah, which I left on a high and was so happy, checking what's happening in Israel, what's happening in Lebanon, what's happening with the people that I love. And 2 hours later, I was in a real depression.
So, Ollie, there's very good news as well happening at the
tell
same
us the
time.
Good news. Tell us the good news, Anne. Time for a single shot good. Of good news. And I love Andy can always bring the good news. Even that anecdote about changing the WhatsApp group from Stuck in SA to Bring Us Home. It is just a classic Andy moment. And thank God we need you, Andy.
We don't call it vitamin A for nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I will share three really funny things that popped up on my news feed apropos news. The one is in a bomb shelter. This little toddler took her first few steps and everybody was cheering away and clapping, and it was just so heartwarming. And there was also recently, I think it was even this morning, a
so
couple
cute.
Got married, literally in a bomb shelter. You see the bride and groom, yeah, walking down the aisle, proper wedding, literally just milestone life moments.
That is literally only in Israel.
Yes, only in Israel. And you know, someone actually invented an app that you could like date, like singles could meet in a bomb shelter. And I just saw, I shared it this morning, only Israelis. They invented a shower app that you could work out how much time do I have to shower before the next siren based on...
Oh, don't even joke.
So funny and so useful.
So Lisa's finding that app very useful.
The humor does not fail and it is just hilarious. You literally have a can I shower? What is the risk? Not recommended right now. 52% chance. It is just...
That is hysterical. That's only Israelis, only in Israel. That is just magical. Lise, have you got a single shot?
I do. Because I think there's like something that needs to be said. Sometimes it's known and it's not said. And then I'm going to read you something beautiful that was shared with me. But, you know, the thing that I love about this country is the connection toward purpose and meaning. And we haven't seen it anymore. Just so... so shining in our faces as through the army and our kids who are in the army. I've had the privilege over the last 2.5 years working with hundreds of soldiers. And one of the things that touched me is how they would be going into Gaza and they say, I just saw the hostages. I just saw the hostages' faces and I could handle Gaza.
Wow.
Or other soldiers would say to me, I just thought of all the kids back home and I could handle what I was doing. And when you speak to kids, you know, even my own children, they sit and they're like, we can handle the bomb shelters because we are freeing Iran and we are freeing millions and millions of people from terror. And then my mother actually sent me this. I understand it's been shared very, very virally, but it was written by a pilot. And he turned around and he said, as an Israeli Air Force pilot, he said, dear children of Israel, you are not alone. When I fly high above your homes, my entire mission is to protect you. Maybe you're in a shelter right now. Maybe it's a little scary. But there are thousands of us doing everything we can to keep you safe. While I'm in the cockpit, I think about your smiles, your games, the hugs you give your parents. Every time you go into the safe room on time, you're part of our team of heroes. If your heart is beating fast, take a deep breath. Hold your brother or your sister's hands, listen to a song you love, and think of me flying above you, guarding the sky like an invisible shield around you. You are not alone. You are loved. You are protected. And I'm here for you, even when you can't see me.
And now me and Paula are crying.
Oh, we are
again.
Crying. We are crying. That is magnificent. And it's reminding me of something that Howard's guest said on his show this morning. I don't know who the guest was, but he said that, you know, right now there are 30 female pilots in the skies above Iran, which is 30 more than the licensed female drivers on the streets of Iran. So and what a crazy thought. There's not one single woman who is allowed to drive in Iran, and there are 30 of our beautiful pilots dominating the skies. I mean, why anyone would support a regime that is oppressing its own people, its half of the population, all the women, hanging gay people from cranes, and saying that, you know, what is Israel doing? What is America doing? You know, stay in your lane. Mm. It's the world has lost the plot, and it's hard.
It was such a powerful moment yesterday on a soccer, at the start of a soccer match, the Iranian team, they refused to sing the anthem. So they stood and they just refused. Wow. And they stood in silence holding the little mascots. You know, they hold the little kids' hands as they walk onto the field, and they refused. So they just stood there.
That's incredible.
Just a powerful moment
of
defiance. That is an
act of bravery and defiance.
Yeah.
You know, I saw, at first I thought I was watching a joke, but I saw a Democratic meeting of parliament, I don't know, in some town in America. And it was all these kids holding like a Democratic policy, whatever, I don't know, coming forward to say what they're doing there. And there's a guy saying, everyone, nobody clap. You have to put your hands in the air because some people have sensory overload from noise. And then someone else stood up and said, could you all please just be quiet because we can't handle, I have noise, sensory issues. And then another one said, I am a he, thou, it. Please refer to me as it when you're addressing it. It was like this crazy, at first I thought it was a satire until I realized it was like an actual meeting where everyone had to stand around each other and be all polite. And I was like, wow. Like, when did some places develop a narrative that their whole life purpose was to stay comfortable?
Absolutely.
And I said, like, we're living through times where our kids are connected to a space that the world is just bigger, and it's bigger than me. And not only that, I'm on the stage. I get to say, we are literally creating history here and trying to free the world from terrorism. That, like, what a thing to be a part of. And quite honestly, if I have to stand in a bomb shelter for another month, I would happily do it.
Really? You would?
What we get.
You're working from home at the moment, Liz, because your office is on the sixth floor of a building, which is not really where you want to be.
I was a little alarmed, you know, in therapy. You kind of don't want to stop a session and say, listen, we're just going to go down, you know, 10 flights of stairs.
In a minute and a half.
But yeah, I think to be able to say, like, when did life become about everything making me feel okay and comfortable as opposed to mission and purpose and really changing the world for good? And, you know, people are getting very down on what's happening in Israel, but I like to live on the side of optimism that says we are partaking in a historical moment where we're going to talk about the good we fought for. You know, and what a thing to take part of.
What an incredible way to live. Such a purpose-driven life. And there's no other way to live when you live in Israel.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to Life and Lattes. What an amazing space this is. And we'd love you to join our table and WhatsApp us 061-895-1019. I'm sitting here with Andy, live in studio. Lisa's joining us from Israel, from the thick of the action. And you can also email us on LNL, Life and Lattes, LNL at chai.co.za. And as soon as I get the password to access those emails, I can definitely read those emails on air. Or if you prefer to be anonymous, that's also perfect. This is your chance to ask an executive and teams coach anything, who's also doing a business psychology course starting when? Today, Anne's?
Tomorrow.
Our lifelong learner, Andy Saitovitz, is starting another course to add another qualification to her already extensive list. And you can get that expert advice as well as Lisa's expert psychotherapy advice on the show. I honestly feel like I should be paying for this session every week. I am growing so much from these conversations. And I love what you were just saying, Lise, about when did we decide that life is about being comfortable? And, you know, the truth is, I actually have to really reflect on that, because yesterday my daughter was saying something to me. They were at a Purim thing for the school, and she saw a whole lot of girls in her class were holding this Mishloach Manot, like a really cool themed Mishloach Manot. And she could see a lot of the girls had it. She wasn't one who'd been given it. And, you know, God, that is so hard as a mom to hear that your daughter is like excluded from that. My first instinct was, I don't like Purim. Next year we're going away. I'm not doing Purim again. I mean, it was such a bad mommy moment, just trying to fix it, trying to take away the discomfort, trying to sanitize life, and let's just live a life where there aren't these icky moments. My next instinct was to write a blistering email to the school, you know, about inclusion and exclusion and mindfulness and da da da. And then afterwards I thought to myself, like, wow. Not your best, not your finest mommy moment. How would you have handled that, Lise? How do we sit with the discomfort?
There's the part of me, let's first be the mom who says, I'm going to chop those heads off those little witches.
Absolutely.
There's nothing that will get the lion out of you quite like someone attacking your children. But but obviously, like, when we all can eventually, which I guess will lead us into our talk today, you know, of like embrace your place and being able to like embrace that pause, when I can have the richer moments as a parent is when you get to say, huh, you know, I guess here's an uncomfortable moment that I want to teach my kid to grow from.
And what is that moment asking of you?
What is that moment asking of me? And yeah.
But as we all know, the great work is that space in between stimulus and response, you know, and it would be nice if we nailed it every time, but we don't.
Well, let's tell the listeners, what is that quote? Because, I mean, we're assuming everybody knows that amazing Viktor Frankl quote, this between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space
is your freedom to choose.
Lies our freedom to choose. And, you know, I didn't feel that space yesterday. I jumped in like the lion mommy. You know,
well,
the lioness.
Pauline, when we triggered like that, that space doesn't actually really seem to exist in our perception. So it is more like a reflex or a reaction. The stimulus and response is so close together that it doesn't even look like there is a space.
Yes.
And with our conscious awareness, and a lot of stuff we'll unpack in our chat today, you can stretch that space. And in that space, the more you stretch that space, you allow for choicefulness. And your choicefulness then opens up many, many options. So I could do this, or I could do that, or I could do that, or I can do that. When it's stimulus and straight away your response, you have very few options because you don't have choicefulness. But as you stretch the space between stimulus and response, you allow for far more choices to enter that space. And then you are operating not from a reaction or I've been triggered or my survival mode or my fight, flight or freeze, but I'm actually now cognitive and rational and value-driven and purpose-driven, and there are many other options.
How do you stretch that space? I mean, how do you even have that awareness in that moment?
I think that's a real million-dollar question, and I think it's a lot of work.
The work's before the trigger. The work is,
and during.
Is every day.
Yeah.
You're building in.
And I think there are things to notice about ourselves, to be honest. Like, I think for some people, their natural temperament is slower, and it's easier. For example, if you the ADHD-er, you know, hands up here. you know, there's the impulsivity part. So for a person with any kind of ADHD, you're super impulsive. So that response is, it really
very
is a
quick
life work.
I'll speak
for myself. I mean, that has been my life work to say, can I slow that down? Because my first reaction is to shoot from the hip. And also I'm really quick with words. So like, oy vavoy, what can come out of my mouth, you know?
I mean, I'm like, we're cancelling Purim. That's it. Not my finest mommy moment or Jewish moment.
But, you know, I think I think there's the space of first acknowledging that you're in that, that you're in that,
in
that,
trigger.
That fire zone. You know, I call it the 0 to 100 club. I am the president, in case anyone's asking. You're welcome to take vice presidency. Might be held by my daughter, but in the meantime, it's being able to say, oh, I can feel it. Like, literally, I can see red, or I can feel like my whole body, like that whoosh of, I just, my fists go. Like, you can really feel yourself having like a response. And I think, A, you know, we often talk on the show about noticing what's happening in your body, to really just feel, A, what's happening inside of me? Just notice it.
Yeah.
And if your body's so activated, you know, you haven't felt, you know, you're
in the emotion-rided cycle.
And maybe zip your lip while you are in that.
Yeah.
Like, till you can sensory anchor, like till you can actually calm yourself down and regulate.
Yeah. Do you guys understand why I feel I should be paying for these sessions?
It's so funny because people want like such fancy tools. You know, they want these tools. Help me self-regulate. Help me get to some sensory anchor. But the truth is, like, one of the most brilliant tools is just a pause or breath work, and it's totally free and it's always accessible. And I don't think
we don't need an app for that.
You don't need an app. You don't need to buy it. You don't need to get it from somewhere. It's always ours. And it's something remarkable that when we tap into and we actually use it well and leverage it, it's a game changer.
It is. Liz, what were you saying?
I'll give you an example. I think one is that 90-second, like, just notice it. The other thing that I would really say is, like, what's your company? Like, I'll give you an example. My son is now in the army. It's a pretty high level unit of training that they're in right now. So you would think, I mean, you all think these Israeli mothers, that they all like are built for the army and grew up in it.
Yeah.
I have now discovered the most hysterical, not normal, insane thing in the world. And it is an army WhatsApp group of parents. I have never come across anything crazier in my life. But there is a crisis in the army going on right now, which is that there is not enough shelters for our soldiers. Mm-hmm. And it's not okay. And the army, I do believe, has not done right by our kids. However, the current situation is there are not enough shelters. What are you going to do? So the boys that are in training in what's called Shetach, which is out in the desert, they just, if a siren goes off, they run to a sand dune, they put their helmets on, and they have to hide by a sand dune. And that's what's happening. Thousands and thousands of boys. So
I mean, that is unacceptable.
It's unacceptable, but, you know, it is what
it is. But it is what it
is. You know, like, come on. So, you know, fine, they've taken it to the press. But what I did notice is the WhatsApp group of my son's tiny little unit, you know, you're talking 40 boys, has gone hysterical, right? And as these mothers are riding in and getting more hysterical, Chaim Sheli, Mami Lem, you know,
Chaim Sheli, I love that.
I found myself, my blood pressure going up and up, and me getting more and more stressed and more worried about my son and more like, oh my God, until I thought, you know what?
They're making you more frantic.
It is. That uptight 0 to 100 is also really contagious.
Contagious. Contagious.
It's
mirror
totally,
neurons, they're totally contagious. You know,
emotions are contagious, and the panic is contagious.
Panic.
So what do we
what
do we do with that?
So is the calm.
So is calm. But what do you, so are you supposed to curate who you surround yourself with? I mean,
yes.
Become discerning. Yes.
Like, you get to say, this is too hysterical for me. I'm not reading this right now.
Yeah.
Or this whole group is on a,
it's not good for me right now.
It's on mute or it's archived until I'm ready to check it.
Groups, they're crazy. You know, the little koch that's happening outside of shul, like, too crazy for me. You know, like, to sometimes be able to say, like, in that pause is me saying, this isn't the right tribe for me right now. It just isn't, you know, like, we do get to choose it.
I've got a beautiful WhatsApp here from Israel. Shushan Purim Sameach from your latte fans in Israel, sending love and hugs to our precious son in Lebanon who is protecting Am Yisrael. Thank you for your service, and may Hashem bless you and protect you and keep you all safe. There are no words. Andy, you just used a phrase. What was it?
Kacha ze achshav.
And just because I know you mentioned it in our coffee date before the show, that is a quote from Muli Lahav, did you say? Lahad.
Muli Lahad, yeah.
Muli Lahad, tell us about
Muli
that.
Muli Lahad is actually, he's a very, very well-known trauma expert.
And
he's so amazing. And I went to a conference of his a while ago, and he just had, the whole conference was like a million golden nuggets. But the one thing that I took away was the Kacha Ze Achshav. And he said that, you know, he called it right now language. Kacha Ze Achshav means right now, this is what I'm dealing with. Right now, this is what I'm facing. And he left me with such a powerful message of, you don't have to fix the current moment. You just have to meet the current moment. And I shared something online, which people found so helpful, and I'm going to share it now. He said, if there is one thing I know for certain at this moment, it is that none of us arrived here with a full tank of gas. We are no longer at the beginning of a difficult period. We are deep within an ongoing reality, and we are all feeling the toll. And there is a real weariness here, physical, mental, familial. And if any of you feel that you are no longer reacting as you once did, it is not a sign that something is wrong with you. It is a sign that we are human beings who have been working very hard for a very long time. And precisely in times like these, it is important to remember that resilience does not look like endless strength. Resilience looks like tired people who keep showing up and who keep caring and who still find a way to be there for one another. And we are not required to be perfect right now, not at home, not at work, not even within ourselves. It is enough to just be good enough, attentive enough, and to remember to take a breath and a moment or two every so often, even amidst the burden. Each of us is holding much more than what is visible from the outside. A worried family, uncertainty, a heavy workload, and alongside all that, a deep commitment to helping others. It is a difficult combination and it deserves recognition. And if there is one thing I ask that we take away from here today, it is simply this. Lower the self-criticism by half a step. Add half a step of compassion for ourselves and for others, and continue to march together at a pace we can sustain over time. We are here with each other, and that even now is a source of true strength.
That is beautiful. Wow. So how do you feel listening to us here on Chai FM? You know, when life puts you on the spot, how do you
embrace your place?
How do you embrace your place? How do you, what spiritual practice do you have to stretch that space and to pause and choose your next response instead of just, you know, shooting from the hip, as we said, like, you know, we are bombarded. What is your thing, and how's that today's conversation landing for you?
And I do at this point want to give a shout out to my sister Ariella Sunshine, who for the last 2 and a bit years.
Wait, dial that back a second. What is her name?
Ariella Sunshine.
Is that your nickname for her, Ariella Sunshine?
No, that is her real surname.
That is actually her surname. Can you buy surnames? Because if they were for sale, I would buy that name.
Right, wouldn't that be great?
Ariella Sunshine.
The best.
For two years, both my sisters actually have either had a son in Gaza or Lebanon, and she still does.
Yeah.
And she has walked around saying to me, literally the quote of the show, which is, Lisa, embrace your place.
Wow.
And anytime something happened, I thought, I need to be somewhere else. I should be something else. Something should look different to how it currently does. She'd look at me and say, embrace your place.
Be where you are.
In fact, she's just sent me a WhatsApp to say she really is listening to the show, to say, I only married my husband for the name.
Absolutely. I won't say who it is, but my sister went on a date with someone and his first name wasn't to her taste. And she literally was like, I'm not marrying someone with that name. So she rejected someone based on his first name. Your sister married someone for his surname. I mean, I've heard of marrying for love and for money, but for surname. And what a pressurizing surname. Do you always have to be Sunshine and Roses, you know, with that kind of surname?
No,
oh my goodness.
Even the sun sets.
That's also true. The sun does set sometimes.
Embrace your place.
But, you know, this is reminding me, as it does, of something very deep and spiritual. The morning brochas that we say every morning, I think there's 12 that we say, blessings of gratitude to God. For example, thank you, God, for opening the giving sight to the blind, or for giving me clothing, etc. One of those blessings is, blessed are you, God, King of the universe, who prepares the footsteps of man. Hamechin mitzadei gaver. Hashem literally prepares our footsteps. We are exactly where he wants our footsteps to be. Isn't that a wild thought? Like, we think we're going, running into fresh fellows, and then we're running into the store, and we're, you know, we're going here, we're going there, and then we get sidetracked, and now we're like, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be in this spot. I shouldn't be in this space. I shouldn't be in this country.
Do you know, once upon a time, you actually told this to me.
Yeah.
You told me that every single thing is already from heaven except fear of heaven.
Yeah.
And when we spoke about what that means, it was our choice in terms of how to embrace the place. So the place we don't necessarily choose, the circumstances around us we don't necessarily choose. When the flights will open again, we don't necessarily choose. But we choose what to do with where we are right now. And fear of heaven is saying, okay, well, if everything is already determined except fear of heaven, then what is embracing our places going to look like? And maybe it's something for all the listeners to take to their own challenges, you know. What does embracing your place look like? Who are you choosing to become in your moment?
What
are you choosing to do? What is this moment asking of me?
You know, I listened to Rabbi David Aaron just before Purim, and I think this ties in so beautifully to Purim. He turned around and he said, you know, we all know the famous story where Mordechai turns to Esther and he says, you know, it's going to happen with or without you, you know?
Yes.
And we all, like, he turned around and he said, wow, like, if I was picking the motivation speech, that would not be it.
You know? Like, wouldn't Tony Robbins saying that?
Yeah. Like, it just wouldn't be it. It would be like, come on. Like,
you've got this. You're changing life.
You're changing history. This is going to be like a whole new Jewish trajectory. And said, listen, it's going to happen. Are you in or are you out? And he compared Hashem to a baby being inside a mother's womb, that the mother's going. You know, the baby is in it and a part of it, but the mother's going. And he's like, Hashem is going. The universe, it's moving.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not just like, oh, if you don't do it, it'll happen anyway. It is happening anyway.
Yeah.
The question is, who are you while it's happening anyway? Are you on the stage and you're using your talents and your skills and your passions and your capability to fulfill what's happening anyway? Or are you kicking and screaming and sitting on the sideline? Or, you know,
resisting reality,
but it's happening anyway. So you may as well say, my strengths, my talents, the things that I am good for, let me align to what is happening anyway.
That is personal leadership. That is the definition of personal leadership.
That is the definition of personal leadership. And we're going to go three cups deeper into Embrace Your Place after this break.
Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
You are listening to Life and Lattes on Hi FM 101.9. And we just love hearing from you. So please WhatsApp us 061-895-1019. Just be part of the conversation. Join our table. We are three cups deep into the idea of embrace your place. And if Hashem has decided exactly where we are and where we're going, what is our choice? What choice are we bringing to the moment?
So one of the tools that we can use to help us, if you can imagine a really helpful visual of these three circles, we have, if you can imagine three circles, one inside of the other. The innermost circle we call your circle of control. And that is where you are in charge. You have full ownership in that place of your mindset, of your attitude, of your mood, of your effort, of your responses, of your behavior. You choose, who do I want to be in this moment? Like Lise was saying, what talents and passions and strengths and capacities do I want to unwrap and share with the world in this moment?
Right.
That is where I have actual
control. What role do you want to play on that stage?
Then there's another circle, which is called a circle of influence. And you do not have control there, but you do have influence. And that will involve, like we were saying earlier, emotional contagion. You know, it is my relationships and my interactions with other people. It is, how do I choose to influence or inspire or even make a request? So I can't necessarily control or change other people or situations, but I may very well have capacity to influence or impact or ask or play with the moving parts in a circle of influence. And the wider circle is what we call a circle of concern. And that is kind of where all of us are, wherever we are, which is, yes, this is very much taking tremendous headspace. This is very much a real struggle for all of us. It is our It's a war. It is a political chaos. It is shut down airlines. It is our children in the army. It is things that we are so deeply concerned about, but we can't control or change it. We can't even influence it or make certain requests. And so if we can recognize that in any given moment, we have a certain capacity or bandwidth, like a battery, and if I'm going to dedicate a certain percentage of my battery to my circle of influence or my circle of concern, I'm going to have very little left or only the difference left to actually zoom in on my circle of control.
Right.
And as much as possible, we want to flip that around. As much as possible, I want to acknowledge my circle of concern because it is valid and legitimate and hard and real. I want to acknowledge my circle of influence and be very selective and discerning on who I interact with and what kind of influence and inspiration and encouragement and requests I'm playing with. And then I very much want the majority of my personal power to be focused on my circle of control, where I can
my thoughts, my speech, my behavior,
even my energy, you know, practicing the pause, my breath work, my spirituality, connecting to my purpose, unpacking my gifts, holding space for myself or my loved ones. Like, I have tremendous power over there.
Yeah.
But if most of my capacity is directed to circle of influence and circle of control, I'm going to have very little left.
It's reminding me of a really bad Jewish joke. there's a husband who says, you know, I wear the pants in my family. I make all the big decisions. My wife, she makes the small decisions, where the kids go to school, what the budget is, you know, what shall we dive in at, who our friends are, you know, the small stuff. I make the big decisions, who should be president of the United States, what wars we should get involved in, what CNN should be saying today, what CNN should be saying tomorrow. You know, I make the big decisions. And it's actually not a joke, because I feel like I really do invest way too much time in that circle of, what's it called?
The circle of control.
No, the last one.
The circle of concern.
The circle of concern. I mean, I am deeply concerned. And I think what's interesting what you're saying is that you don't have to not be concerned. You don't want to cut yourself off. But you also don't want the lion's share of your energy spent on things that you literally have zero say over and zero impact on. Like, yes, you can be concerned. You can check in. But save your energy. Save your life force for your real life, for your circle of control and your circle of concern.
And I'm not saying it's easy.
No, it's not easy.
I'm just saying it's possible.
Yeah, it's not easy.
My husband went for a run this morning, which I'm very glad that he does. He meets two of his friends. I call it their therapy run. I don't know what they discuss, but I'm really glad that they do it. He came back and he said, Lisa, I heard the best thing. It's interesting, the topics that come up in our war, right? He said, you know, someone turned to Morgan Freeman and said to him, Morgan, how do you look so good, even though you're getting so old? And Morgan Freeman turned around and he said, I learned something from Clint Eastwood. And he goes, yeah, what was that? He goes, don't let the old man in. And I thought, wow,
so smart. Don't let the old man in.
That's a circle of control.
You
know, like my sister was joking with me, my other sister's joking with me, before we start any conversation with friends, you know, you hit your mid-40s and all the first 20 minutes are all about all your aches and pains.
Oh, I thought that was just me. Is that the age?
And then we start, you know, and I thought, wow, like what a thing to say. In my circle of control, I don't have to let the old man in me run the show. You know, in my circle of control, I don't have to let my obsession about every news thing that I cannot influence any outcome of whatsoever. Like I really can decide who and what happens in this space.
I'm so happy we have this space.
And yeah, let's embrace our place with this beautiful song.
And on that, before the song, I want to give a quote because I think we like to stay in integrity on this show, that the person who we learned to embrace our place from is Rabbi Ephron Goldberg, if you want to follow him.
That is beautiful. Embrace your place.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're back with Life and Lattes on 101.9 Chai FM. And we got a WhatsApp. Your hubby sends love. It's Andy's hubby and a whole bunch of Israeli flags on our WhatsApp line. That's beautiful. And the song was chosen by Andy, actually. One Republic. What's it called? I Lived. And I think it really says it all. You must know that we choose these songs for you guys. We actually choose every song for you, whether you're on your treadmill, in your car, at the coffee shop, holding your latte. They're carefully curated. And this song is, I hope when the moment comes, you'll say, I did everything I could. And the emphasis is the moment, because the moment is now. And the emphasis is, I did everything I could within my circle of control. How did I show up? How did I choose to embrace my place? We've also got a text here from Amy. Anne, do you want to read it to us?
Amy is in Israel. She's supposed to be here. Supposed to be where she is.
We're all supposed
to be where we are.
Exactly where we are.
Absolutely loving the show. Oh. We miss you. And holding strong.
Holding strong. Thank you so much for listening.
Keep holding strong, Ames.
Yeah. So I think that when it comes to choice, how do we work out? How do we overcome the sense of helplessness that we feel when we are so flooded with that circle of, sorry, I keep forgetting that word.
Circle of concern.
The circle of concern. Mm. We are so flooded with it, and we are deeply concerned, but, you know, it's also, we are helpless to do anything about it. Lisa, what can we do? What can we choose instead of helplessness?
So I do think the first two things are always the ones that we spoke about. A, recognize that you're in it. You know, awareness is everything.
Yeah.
And whether you're paying attention to your body or just to that sense of endorphin going on inside of you, like just that 0 to 100, just like, ah. The second thing I think is really being aware of where you are and who you're surrounding with and who are the people who help you calm down. I think a third thing that, and I'm sure there are many others, just, you know, what's coming to my mind is, I think we all need a spiritual practice. You know, I don't think we arrive at becoming calmer people or people who are more able to embrace that place between stimulus and response.
And
I think that's a really...
Yeah,
I think it's a learnt way of being in the world. For
deliberate
many of us,
effort, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak for me. It absolutely, anyone who lives with me could tell you, it does not come naturally to me, and I fail much of the time. But I think the idea is being able to say, like, if I can grow as a person, and I think many things help create that calmness, whether it's learning to pray, spirituality, meditation, grounding, mindfulness, breath work, all of those things that say, can I go within my nervous system to become a person who knows how to calm myself down? It's like a muscle learning to stretch. And I do think like practices based around growth and mindset help us grow that muscle, just like weights help us grow our physical muscle.
That's and for brilliant. Let It Percolate, we should just start small, because if you've never done any of these practices before and they feel very big and very overwhelming, just one step to start the practice is is very helpful and very effective, and it can hit that first domino.
We have to close out our show. Let's definitely let it percolate, and let's leave our listeners with one practical thing they can do to build in that space, to stretch that space, to be in that circle of control, to choose their next move, to embrace their place. And to decide, what is this moment asking of me? What is one thing, Andy? And then we're gonna say goodbye till next week.
I for sure recommend a 90-second pause. I think that if everyone can just take 90 seconds before they respond, whether it's to an email or a text or before you walk through the door, just 90 seconds, or even if you're alone and you're having a triggered moment and you just need to make a reset. Next right choice, exactly. Right. Just take 90 seconds to say, okay, I'm going to just revisit this in a minute and a half.
Beautiful.
And in a minute and a half, I may see the world with fresh eyes.
Beautiful. We've got more WhatsApp, so we do have to end the show today. We'll see you next week, and we literally cannot wait.